Welcome back to Black Girl Couch Reviews. I'm your girl Christina, and we are back for Krypton, Season 1, Episode 6, Civil War. What a fantastic episode. This show is getting so freaking good. If you are not watching, I'm telling you right now, put whatever you're looking at to the side and check this shit out. It is doing the damn thing. I am thoroughly enjoying it. The last 4 episodes have pretty much been stellar. If you were like me and you saw the first 2 and you weren't sure if this was going to work out for you, keep it moving because it picks up, and the minute it does not stop. This was a 10 out of 10. We got so much information. We got back to Zod, who I, for some reason, relate to more than I probably should. And it was just amazing. I can't say enough of how amazing it truly was. This episode was directed by Kate Dennis, and it was written by Doris Egan. Or do I got that backwards? Nope, I got that right. It debuted April 25th of 2018, and it's still down. I don't understand why it's still going down, but it's 0.60. I don't know what's wrong with you folks. It keeps progressively getting better each week. And I can make some speculation on why some people aren't as hip on this show, but let me tell you, if you are an African American descent, this show is so good for you. But man, how the characters really found their groove in this episode. So many amazing performances, even from characters I hadn't really seen it before. Vex really stepped the fuck up, didn't he? His scene, oh, and we'll get there. When we get there with Jaina, I started shipping. Y'all, why did I start shipping Vex with Jaina? That is not an okay idea. However, it is now implanted in my brain, and we will discuss more of that later. We definitely got our ship of Lyta and Seg to discuss. We've got M to discuss. We've got Adam to discuss. We've got Doomsday to discuss. So much great things to break down in this episode. So let's just get right into it. We start off right where we left off. Lyta and Seg are questioning Zod, like, hey, how you doing, bruh? You said I'm your mother. You want to go ahead and let me know how that came to be? And when you were looking at him, did you say, who is his daddy? And who is your daddy, Zod? That is the question. We need to go ahead and put your ass on Maury with Lyta. And we need to get Maury to read the envelope that says, you are not the father, Seg. You are not the father. That much was very clear. But he tells her, you gave me this necklace. You made me work hard for it. You said that we kneel before no one, which is a Zod line. It's at this point that Adam pops up out of nowhere with a gun. He puts it to the back of Zod's head, and he lets Lyta and Seg know that I know exactly who this is. This is Superman's greatest enemy on my world, and we cannot trust him. But we learn that Adam doesn't even have the whole damn story. He just does not have all of the facts, and it comes out when both people are handcuffed. I like this scene between Seg and Lyta because it was very clear that despite what was happening, they were going to trust each other. They have two people from the future. One says that it is her child. The other has kind of made himself his friend. Although, Adam, you be acting a little weird sometimes. I like how he called you out on your obsession with his grandson. Thus, you have some type of obsession with Seg as well. And that definitely came out a lot during this episode. I don't know. What's that relationship look like in the future? Does he even know Superman intimately in the future? There's a lot of questions that Adam needs to answer, and he does not give really good details about what he does know and what he does not know. Love how Lyta had the gun up and they were listening to both people as they were talking, because Zod is saying that he has come back in time so that he can stop Brainiac from taking Kandor City. And then Adam pretty much just postulates consistently that he cannot be trusted. Lyta pulls the gun on both men, and that is when she allows Seg to make the final decision, however, and he says, cuff them both. That's how that scene goes down. And that's when he's like, look, I'm going to listen to both of you speak, and whoever I decide is telling me the most truth, that is the person I'm going to go with. So it's a very practical way to get down to the bottom of something is to hear them both out, because all they want to do is bicker back and forth about how you're the greatest enemy. And I mean, God wasn't really saying much to Adam other than get the fuck out of my face. But we jump back to Jaina and Vex. I love the shots again of the city of Kandor. We haven't been down in the rankless section in a while, so all we get to see is this glory that is Kandor City and why it's such a prize. But it's beautiful. It really is. I love the sunny disposition to it all. But we get into the Vex. What was that? His private offices? Nisa's there. Jaina's there. Darren is there. I was a little thrown off that they didn't have a door closed, but whatever. I'm like, anyone can walk on by, and someone does walk on by, but I guess they're whispering in such a way that no one can hear them. But they are discussing the plan. They are saying that we have to move forward with it. And Vex is basically telling Jaina that we need an additional person that is going to assist with us. Jaina is saying that she will get someone to do that. Actually, she at that time recommends Dev. And he's like, well, how do you know that this person can be trusted? And she's looking at him like, bitch, loyalty is a thing in the Zod, okay? Just because you don't have no fucking loyalty don't mean that I can't trust my own people. That his heart is not with the Boy Sorrel, it's with Lyta, and his loyalty is with me. So you let me figure this part out. You just make sure you got your shit together. I loved Anne Ogbomo's performance in this entire episode. She is such an underrated actress. Like, why haven't I seen her in more things? I love how she just gives no fucks. Like, they didn't even hesitate to this plan to take over. I thought they was gonna wait a few weeks. No, it ain't even been a full day and a half. I don't know how long Lyta has been gone. No one seems to be looking for her ass, which I didn't even think about that this episode. So it really can't be that much time that has elapsed since she has been released. So that is when we jump back to Seg and Lyta, and they have Adam and Zod tied up together. I was cracking up at how the one chick, I forgot about her in the later scene. Did she actually add a backup person with her? Because she was MIA this entire time. She probably told her, go watch the entrance. That is her commanding officer. If she tells you to go do something, you gotta go do it. So they let Zod speak first, and he comes with some rationale. Like, hey, I'm here to stop Brainiac. Kandor City gets taken. And because Kandor City gets taken, it uproots the last bit of resources for the planet. And in 200 years, we are going to be non-existent. The planet is going to explode. He is here to make sure that does not happen. The whole time that Adam kept interrupting, I kept saying, shut up. So I was so happy when Seg looked at him and was like, shut up, please. Like, you just kept saying, he's talking bullshit. But you ain't had nothing to say either. Because as soon as he started speaking, and he even said, you'll get your turn. You have to let him say his piece, and I will give you your chance to say your piece. He consistently tells him that he kidnapped him so that he can find the weapon that is going to destroy Brainiac so that Kandor City is never taken. Thus, our home planet is saved. His loyalty rings true, because that's exactly what Zod really does believe, is that his duty really is to Krypton. There's nothing about what he's saying that doesn't make sense. And when we jump to Adam Strange and his nonsense, he starts saying, well, I thought I was supposed to get the time traveler that was Brainiac, and it turns out he was wrong on that shit. The time traveler was Zod. He said he got a message saying that he should stop the time traveler, but he didn't even know who the fuck the time traveler was. He tells Seg, I'm sorry, I should have told you that your whole entire planet is going to be destroyed in 200 years, but how was I supposed to bring that up to you? It was hard, but come on now. Like, your excuse is pretty much said you're preserving your timeline because you exist in your timeline. Like, your reasons are selfish. You are here to save Superman. You have no personal connection or relationship to Krypton. And you have no personal connection or relationship to Lyta Zod or to Seg-El. You are here for Superman and what he has done for you and your Earth and your people. And that is a very valid point. that Seg brings up when he's yelling at him when he finally loses his cool, which did he look so sexy when he was losing his cool? I mean, I'm not even gonna pretend like Seg L was not looking a hot thing this whole time. I was like, Cameron Cup, you ain't got sexy, especially when you're angry. Let all that rage out. Put all that rage in lighter later. But he was making valid points. Like, why would you think I'd want my world destroyed and that I have to allow Kandor City to be taken in order for Superman to be born? You're asking me to sacrifice everything for an idea. And he literally just told you last episode that my world does not exist if Lyta Zod is not in it. And she is not going to forgo her duty to her city. And the fact that Seg-El is also, despite his actions, he's never been against Ra'al. He's never been against Krypton. The only thing he has ever wanted was justice for his people, which is funny because the Vexes are exactly the same. They don't want to consistently live under this bubble of religion and faith and it will fix it all. They want to be more practically ingrained and start working politics that will start to bring the city back together. Right? Oh, that was Ra'al that came up with the decision to go after the Rankless. That wasn't Vexa's idea. That was Ra'al. I get everyone's worldview in this episode, and you see that people have more in common than they initially thought, and that it's more complicated. They all seem to be on the same team, just different angles of the spectrum on that team. I did like the emotion in the scene, especially between Adam and Seg, even though I still didn't necessarily buy a close friendship between the two. It's only been, what, like a week since they've known each other. Seg feels that he trusted this guy and he betrayed his trust by not giving him all of the cards and keeping a great deal of information from him. And something like, hey, you are going to be an extinct species is a pretty damn big deal, especially when you're not even a part of that species. So I completely side with Seg in this moment. And I appreciate the fact that Lyta, even though she has a son in this, did not somehow supersede what Seg already knew and just default to what her son was saying. She wanted to hear both sides as well. And she did at some point a gun at Adam, but it was to say, bitch, don't be trying to come after my boo. The loyalty thing is going to be a big deal. I think that they're going to all work together at some point because the ending scene, it does seem like they are going to try and find some middle ground to salvage the situation because Seg is not going to allow his planet to go down. Seg and his grandson are two different people. And I think that's something that Adam doesn't fully understand, is that there's a certain pride, there's a certain type of heritage and culture that comes with being a Kryptonian that Superman never really got because he never was raised Kryptonian. He was never brought up to have the same belief systems and the same culture. Yeah, for Adam to think that Seg was somehow going to mesh into what he believed his grandson to be was a little naive. And I like that they kept that, that he didn't just bend to the fact that, hey, I got a grandson and he's gonna do this and he's gonna do that, so I need to protect him. I don't fucking know this dude. I don't know this idea. I don't know the if of it. And the future can change, and it's not to say that changing the future is going to necessarily eliminate Superman from being born. There's nothing to say that. I think even Adam says, well, hey, we'll just be messing up our timeline, and it's not to say that your grandson still wouldn't be born. I'm just determined that Lyta and Seg have babies. That's all I want. That's all I want and I need. And they have been wanting a future together. And they even discussed that this episode, that there is still the possibility. And I love, love their couple so much. They are a very strong, but not showy couple. And I appreciate that because love is subtle. Open-hearted things that some people particularly like, that you need to be kissing all over each other and holding all over each other and giving each other googly eyes every 5 minutes. That's wonderful, don't get me wrong, but there's a trust with love. And you can tell that whatever is happening, these two, Lyta and Seg, trust each other implicitly. So that's when, after they hear both people out, they leave Adam with the backup chick that I forgot was even there. They decide to side with Zod. They are going to search for the weapon that they know that the Synthonians have and are guarding, because Zod had the medallion in his pocket. And even when Adam made that joke, I was like, shut up, Adam. And he said there might be an alien spider in there. Anything that's going to throw a wrench in this other guy's plan, because he doesn't have much to offer up. However, sometimes you just need to sit down and shut up and let the adults talk. Since you don't even have all the facts. So they have a medallion that was found, and that's when Seg recognized it, because he had been rescued by the Synthonians, and he knows that that is what they're guarding, and it is a weapon. It does not seem that Zod knows exactly what that weapon is. I think he just knew that it was a weapon, because he said that he went back in the archives to get some information on what happened in the Battle of Kandora City, and that's when he realized that there was a weapon down here that could help him. But I don't think he knew it was Doomsday. While I want to distrust him, Face did not seem like he genuinely knew what the fuck was in there. He just knew it was gonna help him defeat Brainiac. And he might come back to that and decide that that is something that he wants to do all on his own, now that he knows where it is, now that he knows how to open it. But he's gonna need Seg's blood to do that. So I'm gonna put a pin in as far as I trust him completely. I think he is gonna do what is necessary to save his city. And if that means releasing Doomsday, he will do it. But for right now, he did not know what Doomsday was and what kind of chaos and destruction it was gonna unleash. Seems like he's willing to choose another alternative, but we'll get there when we get to that part of the story. Quickly back to the military, or the Lawmakers Guild. They are pardoning certain criminals. Dev L is there with one of his rookies. I didn't catch that guy's name. I feel like he's been in another British show that I know, and I can't put my finger on it, but he is giving them problems because they have pardoned a Black Zero operative, and that Black Zero operative is also a bomb maker. And he ain't cool with this. Nissa comes over and tries to smooth over the situation by saying the voice of Rao has decided to pardon this man. You cannot question the voice of Rao. But the guy is just thinking, this don't feel right. Everything in his soul is telling him this just does not feel like something Rao would do, even though they are making all the type in the sense in the world that, hey, we just pissed off Rankless trying to find Black Zero operatives. We are going to pardon one to show that we are not obsessed with Black Zero. However, he is just not swallowing the Kool-Aid. Even when Dev goes ahead and clears himself, escorts him out of the building, per Nissa's instructions that, hey, he might not be safe since other people know that he is Black Zero. But this was all a plan to get this guy to a safe house so that when they blow up Rao, they have a scapegoat that could be killed instant. So I love that scene. And I forgot the scene prior where, no shocker, where Jaina is meeting with Dev. Black representation in this show shines like a beacon. The acting from these characters are the icing on the cake of this show. You have the mystery, you have Superman, but you also have these Zods and the Sagittarii that are really bringing in or making you emotionally invested in these storylines. And you see that between Dev and Jaina. She is starting off the conversation by asking him, you know, how do you feel about the Rankless Initiative? And he's like, it was shit. She's like, yeah, it was shit. How do you feel about the direction of how the Sagittarii are going right now? It does not take Dev long to figure out where she's going with this. Like, oh, we're thinking about new leadership. Is that where you're getting at? And he completely takes a moment to breathe out, because the enormity of what they are doing is huge. And he does not let that moment pass. He acknowledges it in one intake of breath. And yet in the next moment, he lets Jaina know, you know, by me being here, I'm already in. She even says, well, would you like me to let you go? And he said, well, will you let me? And she's like, well, we can find out. And he says, no need. You knew I was in this for you, that there would be no going back for me. He says, everything I have learned about being a Sagittarii, I have learned from you. I am loyal. You ain't got to worry about me. Which she knew that all along. However, I like that she still gave him the chance to say, you can still die with your honor. And I think that was what they were getting at, because honor means everything to the Zod. And so I appreciate her giving him the moment to say, and we see that come back in a later scene when she has to deal with the defector or the person asking the question. Anyhow, we get back to Seg and Zod and Lyta. They are doing some nice camera movement because they are making the most out of this set piece. Again, I said I liked it last episode and I liked it this episode as well. It worked the way they were moving themselves around it. It felt very large, even though I'm sure it was very small, and it felt infinite. It felt like that time was progressing just by their movements, and that's how you do smart camera work, in my opinion. And it kept the scene active as well, so that even though they were having conversations, they weren't standing still to have those conversations. So Seg asked Zod, hey, when we met, like he says, when we met, like in quotation marks, because he's eliminating the fact that he was kidnapped by him and then kind of tortured. He said that the house, El and the house Zod were close, and Zod admits that, hey, yeah, I did. I was close with your father. I liked him quite a bit, and that your friend wasn't lying, which I appreciated. He was not bullshitting Seg whatsoever and tried to cookie cutter around the fact that, no, I did not like your grandson. I think he turned his back on his heritage and that he allowed himself to be molded into something that isn't what we stand for as a people. And that goes back to what I was saying a little bit earlier about how Superman never got the benefit of being a real signature of his race. That is what Zod had an issue with, is that he never stepped into his own power. And he says that he is my greatest enemy. However, I do not take any pleasure in that. I really did have an affinity for your father, and our houses really were close. And that's reinforced again in this episode when we see the El and the Zod had come together previously to even make Doomsday. There is a long history between the two houses that does speak of a more Shakespearean tragedy, that there is a lot of love and respect there, but that it's their differing opinions after the destruction of their earth and their home that has made them enemies. But until then, they really weren't the enemies that they are predicted to be in the future. So these two being the last two of their species have, of course, one remembering everything he was taught by his mother, even though he's kind of letting some things slide there too. And we'll get to that conversation a little bit later. And Seg has a look to all this information. He's a little disappointed himself. But again, I like the scene because it showed that Zod was not going to lie about what his connection was. It's that he's here out of duty. He truly believes in the rhetoric that he is preaching, and he will sacrifice everything for that rhetoric. And that is where there's going to be an issue later on down the line, where they are going to have to choose to put Zod back in the box. And I have a feeling they're going to do that in episode 10, because he's going to probably go off the rails when he finds out that we can't take out Brainiac. I have a feeling that Kandor City is probably going to be not safe. So back to Kandor City. Vex is upset because he has been hearing about this guy whispering around about questioning what's going on with this Black Zero operative. Vex immediately tells Jaina she needs to take care of the problem. Jaina's like, WTF? My people are loyal to me. You just can't ask me to kill someone as if it's just okay. These people have a closeness and a trust in me, and you are asking me to simply kill this man without even giving him an attempt to come to our side. Vex is like, it's too late for that. They're in conversation here. This is the moment where I started shipping them. Don't shame me. Don't you dare shame me. But the passion in this room was a little hot. Nisa was in the corner taking it all in, probably wondering when they gonna fuck. I need to stop. But I like the exchange between the two of them, because she's telling him that, hey, I sacrificed my honor and that's on me. I know what I sacrificed it for. However, you are a greedy, selfish man. You came here 2 years ago out of nowhere and married into House Vex. You've been climbing the ladder since then. Okay, so I see you for what you are. are, what I represent is much greater than what your tiny humane ambitions are. And he gets a little pissed off about this because he feels like she's insulting him, which he is. And he says, I know that I'm a selfish bastard. However, don't think for 5 seconds I don't care about my city. I liked his speech though. He was kind of like, I came from nothing. So I cannot accept the fact that these illustrious people want to bow down to Rao, and all he wants to care about is his faith and religion, while the rankless are starving and poor, while our resources are dwindling because we are too good to have any type of rapport or build any relationship with the other city. If I need to be the one to take that step, I will take that step. And yes, I do think about me first, but I also think about Candor City second. And don't shit on me just because I am ambitious and I want to rule. It is not just one thing or the other. There are multiple reasons why people make decisions the way they do. And that hits home for her. And I love that shot of just the back of her head as she turns to the camera and we see the emotion on her face and how that has affected her, because she is looking at him a little bit like he is shit, and he respects her in a way that I think that was proven a few times in the past when he's had conversations with her. He knows she is the real deal when it comes to the protection of Candor City and the best interests of Candor City. And even though they use blackmail to get her here, she also sees where he is coming from despite what her duty is to Rao. I really enjoyed that scene. I enjoyed Nissa just standing there, taking it all in, looking gorgeous. And I love the power and the emotion behind Vex, because we haven't really seen it all that much. I've not really saw him as the chess player they really wanted me to believe he is. And in this scene, for the first time, I started to really see that he just wasn't a loose cannon, that there's more to his story, more to his background than we initially thought. And that part of who he used to be before he got into the guild. So he obviously was a rankless person himself. That's going to gallivate a different sort of response than the people born into rank. I am interested in learning more about what his story is. We get back to Lyta and Zod, and they have a little aside on their own where he tells her that, you know, you raised me to be a warrior, you raised me to be strong, that the city falling weighed on you. Because he said it was nice to see her smiling and happy because he never saw that version of her. And she says it to Seg a little bit later. Basically, I turned into my mother, and that I raised my son to be exactly how my mother wanted me to be. While she wasn't the warm and fuzzy mother, she definitely instilled in him what his duty was, and he never forgot that, and he never underappreciated that. So, wow. To know that you became the one thing that you did not want to become is fairly interesting, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she didn't have a soul or that she wasn't the person that she was previously. And I'm not sure in that previous timeline, were she and Seg together as well? Man, because this hurts my soul if they're not together. I can't take it. Look, I'm not even going to pretend like I can take it. I need them to find a way, and I'm glad that they are giving me some type of hope with that, with how they ended the conversation, right? Because, and we'll get back to that scene just a little bit later, just a little bit, because I really love that. Get another scene in which Dev approaches the guy that's asking all the questions. He tells him, I've set up a meeting with Rao, because he's looking at Dev really suspicious, like when he says, let's go into a corner and discuss this, because he's just saying, it's not just that they let this guy go, he's gone missing. Dude, you have nothing better to fucking do. You just got nothing better to do. Probably not, though. He did not want to go in a room alone with Dev. He decided to go above Dev and go straight to Jaina, which, as soon as I saw him in that room, I was like, yep, he did. But he tells her exactly what has happened. She says, you are right to bring this to me. She says, I am proud of you, or something to that effect. And you can see he took pride in that, because he really did do the right thing. He just didn't know he was on the wrong side. And Jaina punches the fuck out of his throat. I'm like, boy, you should have been dead. How are you moving after that? That just goes to show the Sagittarii got some skills, because that one punch to the throat would have had me on the ground, knocked the fuck out, and just accepting my fate of death. However, he tries to get away, and she is forced to strangle him out on the ground. It's a very emotional moment for her because she really did not want to do it and she knew it was too late. When he said, I scheduled the meeting with Raul, there was no going back for him. Then Dev comes in and sees it. I wish they had stayed on that scene. It felt like it was cut shorter than it needed to be. I wanted to have a little bit more time on Jaina's face and her emotion because her lip was trembling. And you could tell that took a lot out of her. And I needed to see that door close because I was like, why is the door still open? Like no one could walk through. Now we get the scene with Lyta and Seg. And he says, what did he say to you? And she's like, well, yeah, basically I've become my mother. He reveals that, well, my grandson is maybe not the thing that I would have preferred for my grandson. So they both have a moment of thinking that, you know, she said, I hope that maybe with you having a rank that there was some way for us to have a future. Because Seg mentions that earlier, right? He says, our children, I wanted to have children and he wanted to have it in the natural way. And he wanted to have those babies with Lyta. He made that pretty clear when he was even talking to Lyta in bed in episode one, where he said children should be born naturally and of choice. Should not be something that happens just because if there's no love behind it, it's just our genes in a genetic chamber that makes the next generation. And there's nothing sentimental about that. Brings it up again. Like I had thought that maybe we would have this chance to work it out. She is kind of sad that this indicates that there may not be any future for them, but I love how it's very human, despite them not knowing what humanity really is. Earth actually thinks like what Seg and Lyta think. However, they are a product of their situation, so they kind of accept the things that they cannot change, even though they still love each other regardless. And even though they have children with other people, that does not negate the feelings between them, and that they will do what they have to ensure that their duties are protected, I guess. I'm not sure if I made sense with that. But I love how he just grabs her hand and he says, let's just speak about today because the future is a fucking hot mess. It's confusing. And I totally got where Seg was coming from. Like, we're talking about a whole bunch of ifs. Right now, with time travel, we've already changed the playing field and things can still work out the way they're supposed to work out. But now with Zod coming back, the minute he came back, he already altered the timeline. The minute that fucking Adam was running around, he already eliminated the timeline or fucked with the timeline. So I watched way too much Flash to know that it does not matter if you come back and put everything back the way it's quote unquote supposed to be. Once you go back, I'm thinking of that conversation that what Jay Garrick was showing Barry Allen. If you don't watch the Flash, you probably don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. However, he took a cup and he vibrated it to show it was broken, and then he put it back together and he's like, no matter how you put it back together, you're gonna still have little fizzles in the glass because that's what happens when you fuck with time. So despite all that they are saying, they've already created the ripple effect that will happen and change this timeline, right? I think what Seg said was very relevant, that the future is too confusing to try to get to, that we need to just live in the here and now and do what we feel we could do in the here and now, which is why they have decided to fight for Krypton. They come to a door. It's a vault. And it has the sigil that was on the medallion that Zod was carrying around. And then Zod thanks Seg and says, hey, I would not have been able to find this without you. Thank you for your help. He opens up his little backpack he had. And there's like 6 bombs in there. And Light is like, where the fuck you get that? That's military grade weapon. That is when he says, I've been working with Black Zero. She looks at Seg like, WTF, but Zod already acknowledged that he had been using Black Zero to get what he wanted, that he had no allegiance to them. He just used them. But it's another tip off of who the fuck is in Black Zero. I think that there has to be someone in the military guild that is working for Black Zero because he would not have been able to get access to those weapons unless someone from the military guild gave them to him. Because remember when Lyta had bombs that Seg needed, he could not easily obtain that. He had to get it from her. And she even said, like, you can't have this weapon out here because everyone will know where it came from. That is a Easter egg, I think, when we finally do to get to Black Zero, because whatever that is, is Vex in Black Zero? That would be interesting if Vex is in Black Zero. He's actually the head of Black Zero. speculation on my mind. Tries to blow it up. It does not work. That is when they notice, Seg had noticed previously that there was some type of, it looked like a home plate, a silver home plate was on the ground. And he said, this must be a key. And that's when he recognizes that the medallion, the sigil of the medallion that no one's seen before is actually a sigil between House L and House Zod. So these houses have been close for quite some time. Again, to reinforce that, we don't know what their blood has been up to, how many people have married into each other. I thought I read that Zod was Superman's brother. Am I wrong on that? BlackGirlCouch@gmail.com. Someone please let me know. But maybe I just read that wrong, because he did not make any mention of the fact that they were possibly related. So don't know what the fuck is going on with that. So that's when Seg figures out that you need the blood of the house to open it, because that's what he used to obtain or get access to the Fortress of Solitude, which I'm glad we have not been back to the fortress, but I kind of feel like we should. If anyone has some answers at this point in time, it would be Val L's hologram. And I'm not sure why we have not made an attempt to get back to Val L's hologram. I would think out of all people, Adam Strange would have been trying to get a ally in Val L. That would have helped him a lot more with Seg trusting him than him continuing to run his damn mouth. But what can you do? He seems like a fanboy. They put the blood on, and it's the blood of L. It does not work. And that's when he figures out that it needs to be Zod blood, or at least Lyta figures out that it needs to be Zod blood as well. She goes to cut herself. However, her son generously takes the knife from her like, no. They cut their damn palms again. TV shows, I'm going to smack you in your face if you keep doing this. Stop it. Y'all need drops of blood and y'all be acting like y'all need to seriously cut an artery. And you do not need to slice your palms because it will cause damage to the nerves. What are you doing? At least they showed that this cut was shallow. However, it did not seem like Seg's cut was shallow. That was a lot of damn blood. He could have just pricked his damn finger. Who said we need all this visualization? Stop it. Anyhow, this does the job and it is open and we get this cool ass shot of Doomsday. He looks badass and he looks scary as shit. There was a previous scene in which the guard was killed by the Synthonians.
Bye, Felicia.
Adam teamed up. They were about to kill Adam as well, but Adam said, no, I know what's going on. I know what you are protecting, and I can give you information on that. So he saves his own ass. Right as they open this door, that is when Adam pops up and he says, no, don't do this. It is bad. Let me tell you what this weapon is. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be stopped. Once you unleash it, it will kill everything in its path. Not just Brainiac, but everything else on Krypton. You cannot do this. And that is when the Synthonians catch up to him and pull their weapons on them. And he says, they will not hurt you. I have made this deal. Which, what the fuck? Come on now. I got where, and that's what Zod said, he's betrayed us, and I got where he was coming from. He's like, what the hell, dude? I get why Adam did what he did, and it's not like the Synthonians were doing anything wrong, but being kept someone's prisoner is not ideal either. And it was very clear that they were going to keep Seg L at least prisoner, and maybe Lyta Zod, but they would have killed General Zod. And I think that's exactly what Adam wanted. And I think that Adam is underestimating the fact that as much as Zod is Superman's enemy, he is not Lyta or Seg's enemy. He's just not. As they keep talking about how Doomsday is terrible and really not the weapon you really want to unleash on the world, the one chick that he saved steps forward with the old chick in the background. I'm like, girl, you should be at home knitting a sweater. Get your ass somewhere. Why are you in the middle of a firefight? But anyways, she backs everything that he said. He knows that he could trust her because she let him go. He tries to stop the firefight that comes. However, Zod ain't having none of it. He starts firing on them. Lyta and Seg do protect him and find a way out. And strangely enough, as they escape, Adam joins them. Even though Zod is shot in the, what does it look like, the belly? And Seg is the one that is carrying him. And he asks him, does this mean you're with me? And he says, yes, but we are not using Doomsday. We will find another way. He is saying, I get where you're coming from, but I don't want to do what that is going to do. That's not going to help us. But again, I think that Zod, if their plan fails, which we got three episodes left, four, I think their plan is going to fail whatever they decide to come up with, because Brainiac is powerful as fuck in the form of Rao, which I haven't really jumped on his scenes this episode, which I will once I include their scene, because they decide to meet up at some place of General Zod, and he says that you could trust them, and Lyta says, I do. She's thoroughly behind her son at this point. They're going to all go to a certain place, and that is when Seg drops the bomb to Adam that, yeah, you can come with us, but when we get back to where we're getting to, are they going back to the Rankless side of town? Is my guess. He says, when we get back to where we're going to, you need to find your shit and get on fuck somewhere. Like, you need to go. I don't trust you whatsoever. Like, we are not bros. I have a feeling that's gonna change. Yeah. So back to Rao and his scenes that I really didn't go over because they were kind of culminated at the end of the episode. Rao has been testing Una all episode, asking about her religion, about what they believe. She is someone he kind of finds some semblance of, I don't know, he's fascinated by her. Because that is something Brainiac does, right? He looks at the worlds and sees if they're worthy of being saved or being destroyed. And whatever he finds in Kandor City, obviously he decides to preserve and make a part of his collection. That starts with Ona being someone he connects to in her faith. And even though he gives her the chance of joining with him and her mother, she would rather serve him. And he's completely intrigued by this idealism that they have with the city and how deep and rooted that faith really is. And so he decides to tell the Sagittari, which included Dev, that he wants to meet with all the Rankless in the hall. He says, I want to meet with all the Rankless people because Ona has inspired him with her tears because she wants to serve him. And he kind of likes that adoration, I guess. Or that sign of emotion. I don't know what appeals to him, but whatever. Didn't care that much about that part. But I did like the stunning visualizations of Rao. I like how we got to see him act and how the creepy mask becomes him when he's making his dialogue scenes, and how his whole wardrobe lends credence to that eeriness about him, that he feels otherworldly. He feels more than just a man. And an idea, even though that one chick was putting up the crystals looking at him like he is fucking crazy, because she probably saw his alien head face. I know someone had to dress him this morning. That was probably the chick that had to dress him, because he don't go to bed with that shit on. So he's already converted his own peeps to his side and his way of thinking. And it's only when he meets Una that he decides that maybe I should not destroy the city. Maybe I should save it instead. And he wants to meet with the folks to see if they are worthy of being saved. However, this comes into conflict with the bomb because it's on a timer. And once that timer goes, there's nothing to make it go back. There's an interesting conversation between the Vexes and Dev and Jaina. Jaina is very tuned out. She's looking out the window. She's still haunted by her earlier actions. Dev is saying that we are going to be risking innocent life. It was very clear that they did not want to risk innocent life, the Vexes included. Earlier, they wanted to keep it as minimal as possible. However, there was no going back once the coup has started. They cannot go back because it will destabilize, and he makes really good points. But Dev says, I just want to make it very clear. I do not answer to you. And he turns to his Primus and she says, let this shit go forward. There's no going back. We've already committed too many sins now. We might as well keep adding to the damn list. So she is so through with it all. Because her honor is in shambles. Everything she stood for is gone. She can't allow it to be for nothing. She can't allow it to be for failure. So if these people gotta go, these people gotta go. Dev, still being the good guy, manages to find a way and announce that there's a bomb to get everyone to leave, and he walks the voice of Rao back to his chambers. Rao says, you are a good soldier, and he says, thank you, sir. And as soon as he get into his chambers, the coup happens. He has got his weapon pulled on. I was surprised Jaina was there, but hey, I need to ensure success. I get her. I get you, boo. And he says, well, if this is to be my last moment, let me at least look upon you. He was going to take his mask off earlier with Ona, and I was like, no, don't do it to own up. So I was glad I was spared that. At that point, that is when he reveals his alien self. Everyone's like, what the fuck? And then he lets them prongs out of his freaking arms. And I'm like, oh, shit. Nothing better not happen to Jaina. Like, I love you, Dev, but shit. If you got to go, you got to go. You are a roadblock in my love of Lyta and Seg. I don't want to see you go, but you kind of don't have a purpose. I think I said that last episode, is that if they're not going to go the way I want it to go, someone's going to have to be sacrificed, whether it's Nissa or Dev or both, preferably both, so that we can not have this angst, because I hate shipping angst between two couples that are meant to be together. They either have a strong foundation and you keep that foundation, or they don't. And you go ahead and let them be off with their other significant others. And it seemed like there was a lot of closure with Dev last episode when she gave him that side kiss. Like, yeah, boo, nothing is going to happen between us. And then they reinforced the love story of Lyta and Seg. So I really see keeping Dev on the sidelines a little bit of a disservice to his character. So I'm glad he ended his arc with that loyalty to Jaina and to Lyta still intact by trying to help accomplish this coup. I don't know if he's dead. I hope he's not dead. They did not show us the end, so he might just be an agent of Rao, but we all know once that fucking shit gets in your brain after watching Rom that it kills you afterwards. So I'm just hoping Jaina somehow survives this, because I need her to keep surviving. And I think that Dev is going to be agent of Rao / Brainiacs at this point. And so is everyone else in this room. What does this mean for the coup? I do not know. I really don't know what Brainiac is trying to accomplish at this moment, because he is here, he is there, and he is in control. Even though I think he's not fully presently there, I think he's using Rao as an avatar. Fantastic ending. I definitely was like, damn it, when the credits came on. Very solid episode. A lot of intrigue. What is Vex gonna do once he realizes this shit failed? He's gonna have to account for that. Are they gonna kill Vex and Nissa too? I kind of want Nissa to stay around at least until episode 10. I like her. I don't like her with Seg, but I like her. I thought she might be part of Black Zero, but if they keep Vex around the way they gave him such a momentous scene this episode and started to put little seeds to his backstory, I have a feeling he would definitely out-survive Nissa. Again, I don't want the side pieces to have no story, and it doesn't look like the side pieces have much of a story. And if they're gonna give Vex the idea of being the Black Zero operative, I thought that would be Nissa. It's not Nissa. It's gotta be him. And they could change that though, and she is Black Zero and she kills her father. That would be interesting too, but I feel like they have given enough to Darren Vex that it's more plausible that he would be the surviving member of this, because he is someone who wants to get the other houses together, blah blah blah. Again, I think Candor City is definitely doomed. I don't know what that's gonna mean for Jaina and Lyta, because the destruction of Candor City somehow destroys everything that Lyta used to be. Is that going to mean our two lovelies are going to be separated? You know, I can't deal with that. I just can't. But at the same time, changes are going to happen. And I have a feeling that this mofo is going to unleash Doomsday. Something big is going to have to take Doomsday out. So if you got some theories, please let me know, because I really don't know how this will end. That's the great part of this show, is that I can't predict what's going to end. That's what keeps you tuning in every week, because you need to know if it's going to satisfy all of your needs, some of your needs, or none of your needs. You want to send feedback again, you can send that to blackgirlcouch@gmail.com. You can also leave a comment on this podcast at Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes at Black Girl Couch Reviews. Also, remember to share, like, and subscribe as well. That is all for me, guys.
one walking.